If I was to ask the question, who are we as a church? Just exactly who are we? What is the Anderson Church of Christ? What would you say? Well, I think for most of us, we could readily give several points, bullet points, about who we are, what we represent, what we do. As I look at our group here, the Anderson Church, we have grown quite a bit. Others coming from other places and placing membership. Some call that swelling. We've had others that have been baptized into Christ. We have a lot of young folks that are continuing to grow and to mature. And so it really is important that we keep before us our identity, who we are, what our mission is. Because I'm afraid that over time, many kind of forget what the main thing is. We all need reminding. You remember the Lord established the Lord's Supper to be eaten every first day of the week and to do so in remembrance of me. I think the Lord knows us pretty well. He knows that we are forgetful creatures. And so we eat of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week to remind us, to continue to remind us what is our purpose. What is the main thing of the main thing? So today, I will probably review for most of you what we're going to talk about. Some of this may be new to many of you. But we're going to talk about this morning about what the Anderson Church of Christ is. And I would just like to begin by simply saying what we claim to be and what we hope and pray to be, not just in word, but in deed, we want to be Christ's church. Now, if you look at the religious Christian world, there are lots and lots and lots of churches that make this claim. But when you examine all these different churches, there are so many differences. It doesn't take a college education to simply look and to see that not everyone's on the same page that call themselves Christians. So what I want to talk about today is not so much, as I often say, not so much looking at the tree or the bark on the trees. We're going to kind of look at the forest view of the church. And it's been about 2 years since we really talked in any depth about the church. So with the growth of our young people and with new people coming in, and for the rest of us that are somewhat forgetful and becoming more so, we need reminding of what and who we are. So the first thing I want to suggest to us as we think about this is very simply, you remember that Jesus said in Matthew 16, He said to His apostles, I will build my church. What we believe at this place is that we believe that what Jesus built, His people, that is who we are. Now, that's not in any bragging way. It's not any to be looked at in any condescending way. But to look at it, I think, in a very comforting way, in a very encouraging way, that we believe us ourselves to be God's people. So that there's no misunderstanding. The church that Jesus promised to build in Matthew 16, we believe that was accomplished. And that church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now why do I say that? Because there are those who claim that their church is built upon that same foundation. However, we find that as you build the church and understand that the apostles, the prophets, were the foundation, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. You get the idea of this building. And then how we build upon it. We see many churches that have built upon that foundation and look completely different. So what's important for us to understand is that the Bible, we believe, that the Bible gives us the instructions of how to build upon that foundation. And when you look at that foundation, we find that how it was built upon in the first century, in fact, the very first church, is listed for us in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we find there that the apostles were gathered together in Jerusalem. They received the Holy Spirit, and they were verbally inspired to preach and to teach the keys of the kingdom that was given to them, the words whereby men could be saved and become a part of that church. We believe at Anderson that we're a part of that group because we base our teaching, our existence, upon that solid foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ being the chief cornerstone. And how we build this house is the teaching that the apostles taught the very first day to start the very first church. And I want to say to us as well that that group of people that gladly received the word that was taught by Peter and the rest of the apostles, there were about 3,000 souls that obeyed the gospel that day. And how they became a member of the church. If you want to become a member of the church or the saved of God today, we would teach and preach exactly the same thing that Peter and the apostles preached. You remember that after hearing about the death of Jesus and how that Peter and the apostles said specifically to the Jews that were listening, "You have murdered the Son of God." When they heard this, those that were convicted of that, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins." We believe that sin is forgiven today in the exact same way. Is repenting of that sin, being baptized into Christ, and we learn in verse 47 that God added daily to the church those who were being saved. The King James Version. If you look at more modern versions, you'll find that God was adding to their number. To what number? To the number of the saved, those that were obeying His word. So if you look at the first church, people became members by believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By realizing that we all sin and fall short. So we repent and change our way. We give allegiance to Jesus Christ as a resurrected Son of God. We're baptized to wash away our sins and become a part of His body, His church, the saved. So therein, the Anderson Church of Christ is just like the Church of Pentecost in that we obey the same truth, perform the same acts of faith, and God, we believe, performs the same idea of forgiveness and adding us to the saved body. And that's important for us to think about because then we become the building of God. So you get this idea of what we've studied here thus far. The foundation, who is that? The apostles, the prophets, what they taught, what they preached. What did they preach? What did they teach? That Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's all about Jesus whom this building is built. And then what we teach, what we practice, how we live our lives. That's what this building is. Now we're not talking about this building. We're talking about this building. We're talking about this building. The church is the people. Jesus did not die on the cross for wood. He died on the cross for us, our souls. Well, when you look at the New Testament teaching, something else is very important about who Anderson Church is. Jesus Christ is the head of that church. It makes that very clear in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. The book of Ephesians in chapter 1 identifies that body as the church. So the saved people of God is the body of Christ. Now here's another imagery. The first imagery, foundation and house. Here's another imagery, body and head. It's just another way to illustrate who we are. Well, who are we? Well, we're the body of Jesus Christ. We're the hands, the arms, the legs, etc. Who's the head? Jesus Christ. We find another illustration about a king and a kingdom. The book of Revelation says that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. We find that in the New Testament, there is the figure used in regards to the rule and the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is those subjects that submit to the king under the authority of this king. We are the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We also learn that the New Testament, the law of Jesus Christ, or the gospel, the good news, all same synonymous names for the same truth, is what guides the Anderson Church. Now that's significant when we start talking about the religious world. Because you're not going to really run into anybody from any other church that's going to say, well, we don't believe in the Bible and we don't follow the Bible. Folks are just not going to say that. All believe that they follow the Bible. Now here's the test as to whether or not they do. Is you can take your Bible, you all have one, don't you? You can take your own Bible, and you can look at any church, and you can look what they do, and then you can look at the New Testament and see what the first century church did, and all you have to do is compare. Well, when you start to do that, you will soon find out that there are some differences in what churches do. And the reason there are differences, it's not because they don't believe in the Bible. It's because they don't follow the Bible alone or only. Most all denominations in this world have some kind of creed book. Whether it's a discipline or a manual, it's rules. And those particular books were written by men, not God. They were written by men and women that made up headquarters and boards of directors and conventions and committees. And this has been going on for centuries. So when you look at various denominations, it's not that they don't claim to be Christ Church. It's not that they don't claim to follow the Bible. But what's significant and what makes a difference between us and other churches is that we believe that you must follow the Bible only. The Anderson Church of Christ does not have a creed book. We do not have a manual. We do not have a catechism. We don't have a set of rules and regulations that we call the traditions of the Church of Christ. We just follow the Bible. And what is significant about that as well is that Jesus Christ is not the author of any of these other books. Men are. But God is the author of this great book. So again, we're not being condescending. We're not being arrogant. We're not being prideful. What makes us distinct and different? And we challenge anyone to just look, examine, search, ask questions, and to see if what I said is true. We just follow the Bible. If you ask us a question about what we believe, what we teach, what we practice, we try to show you from this book. We don't pull out men's works, men's ideas to try to prove that at all. Now, when we stop to consider that, this is an important thing that is rarely being said even in churches of Christ anymore. Anderson Church is not a denomination. That is not politically correct in our Christian world. However, in the last few years, many are getting away from denominationalism and becoming what is basically termed a non-denominational faith. So whether you're talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, mainstream, Methodist, whatever, a lot of folks are getting away from that. And I fear not for necessarily the right reasons. There are reasons why one probably should not be a part of a denomination. But becoming a non-denomination is to yet again splinter from the truth of God and to do something that another man or men and women have decided, well, let's not be a part of that denomination. Let's take the name off the building and let's put the faith or the way or the spring of life or some other unique kind of name that will identify them as a separatist or another dividing from or getting out of some mainstream denominationalism. And while I commend that to a degree, but there has to be, for any church to be God's church, it has to be built upon that foundation. So many go out and build a church not upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then throwing away all man-made books and doing God's Word only, because if they did that, again, they look just like us. Again, I don't mean that arrogantly. But there is a difference when churches do things men's way versus churches that do things God's way. It is very obvious. Well, when I say Anderson Church is not a denomination, sometimes that surprises people. Because the question may be, well, what denomination are you a part of? And when you say, not any. And then when you say, they ask, well, but what church do you go to? And you say, well, I go to a Church of Christ. Oh, well, Church of Christ is just another denomination. In the world's eyes, that is true. The word church and denomination, to most people, is synonymous. If, by any chance, some of you have been reading the weekly newspaper articles that I put in the local Lauderdale paper, I've been doing a series on what is denominationalism. Now, for years, 40 plus years, I've taught on that sort of thing and preached on that sort of thing. And most people in the audience, whether they're members of the Church of Christ or not, they get it. They understand it. A few years ago, I was preaching for a church in another land far, far away. And there were a lot of young college-age people. And when I talked about denominations and denominationalism, there was kind of a common denominator amongst these young college-age people who grew up in the Church of Christ. They didn't have a clue as what I was talking about. I'm not suggesting, brethren, that we have to get up in the pulpits or on a stump out there somewhere and we have to berate and belittle other people. No, no, that's not my point at all. It's not my job to belittle or berate anybody. But when we lose our distinctiveness amongst the denominations and we look just like them and we teach just like them and we practice what they practice, then the church of our Lord is not who we are. So I'm beginning to think that there's been enough years go by that many of us who are 60 plus, we remember all those sermons all of our lives. But maybe folks that are 20 plus, maybe you haven't heard a lot about that. Because I hear even our young people thinking that many of the denominational churches that we are surrounded by in this great county, they're just like us. They're just like us. And again, I'm not trying to make anybody angry. I'm not trying to offend anyone or upset anyone. But I challenge any of you to go back at least 30, 40 years in history of this country. And every denomination that exists today, they debated, they argued, and they stood firm that they were the church that Jesus built. There was a day when each and every denomination, including Catholicism, would argue and say, they are the church of the Lord, and the rest are not. But we live in a different world today. I have debate books in my library, bunches of them, across the board that argue that point. But today it's different. If you believe in this book and you believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you teach, it doesn't matter where you go to church, it doesn't matter what you practice, we're the same. Because all that really matters is the man, not the plan. If that's true, if that's biblical, then that's what we are to preach and teach. If that is not the truth, then what should we preach and what should we teach? So I'm saying today that the Anderson Church is indeed one that practices and follows God's Word. We believe in passages like Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Noah built the ark out of gopher wood, right? Why? Why did Noah build the ark out of gopher wood? Simple question. Because God said to. Why do we eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Because God said to. Well, now sometimes churches do things that God didn't say to. The argument is, well, God didn't say not to. So we have churches that have instrumental music. And it will interest most of us when you do your historical study. It was centuries in churches that they never used mechanical instruments of music. And the founding fathers of denominationalism in the 1600s and the 1700s are all, and you can find quotes, Google it. You can Google every one of these founding fathers, and they all say and claim the first century church did not use mechanical instruments of music. Why? Because God said sing. Ah, but He didn't say not to. Churches for centuries believed because God did not say not to, did not give them the authority to do it. Noah could have used the same reasoning. He could have said, well, God didn't say not use oak. Do you think Noah would have been right to have gotten gopher wood and included oak because God didn't say not to get oak? I think if you think a moment, you'll understand that there is a rhyme and a reason why the Anderson Church does what we do. Because we look to God's Word that provides us with all things that we need to be God's people. So, when we consider all of this, our purpose here is a local church. The local church, from Philippians 1 and verse 1, involves elders, deacons, saints, and preachers. That is a local group, the church, the saved of God. And we work together for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. We are a team. We are a family. We are a body. We are a people that work together for a purpose. We have a purpose. We evangelize. We edify. We take care of benevolent needs. And when you consider all of that, that this church does, we reach out to the lost. And we try to help the lost. Now, here's an important thing to think about. Universalism teaches the idea that God's grace is sufficient to save everybody regardless. If that's true, God's grace will save everybody regardless, then why the mission of the church to go teach the lost? They're saved anyway. The mission of the church is to go and save the lost because the grace of God is only available to those that accept it and obey it. There's a lot of people in this county alone that are not Christians. There are many people in this county that claim to be Christians but don't follow this book. So what is our mission? What are we supposed to do? Take the gospel to the lost. That means you got to talk to people. Now, that will be met with different responses. Some people want to hear the truth. Some people don't want to hear the truth. Some people believe they're just fine. Don't bother me. Some people are drowning and don't even know it. To build up the saved is very, very important. Why do we meet? Why do we come on Wednesday night? Why do we come on Sunday night? Why do we have gospel meetings? Why do we have Bible classes? Well, we're trying to edify each other. We're trying to build each other up. Because the world is tearing us down. You don't have to live more than 6 months in this world to realize when you go out there in the world, you get beat up if you claim to be a Christian. You actually suffer in many ways. Maybe not blood. Maybe not persecution. But you are challenged every day to your faith. We get together and we study and we try to help each other because we're trying to help each other to get to heaven. So if anything could be said as a summary statement in regards to this church, here's the deal. We're trying to get to heaven. Well, Brother Salih, that's what all these other churches are trying. I agree. There are tremendous people in all these different denominational churches. Tremendous people. Good people. But you can read in the Bible of people that were good people but had bad information. And they got good information. And those good people became saved people. Please understand there is a distinction between a good person and a saved person. Cornelius was a good man, but he was a lost good man. And he heard the gospel and he became saved. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, was a good man. But finally he got the truth. He heard the truth and believed the truth and became a saved man. My question would be to you this morning, are you a good man? But are you a saved man? Those are two different questions. We want to help people get to heaven. Our worship of Lord's Supper, singing and praying, giving, preaching and teaching, you've been a participant in that even this day. Today, what a blessing it is for us to be able to come together in peace, without fear of persecution, be able to sit in a padded pew, an air-conditioned building with lights, and be able to sit here and worship our God without us as men being fearful of our wives being taken our children being taken. We can sit here and we can worship God. We've got a lot to be thankful for. But what we have more to be thankful for is that we can come here and we can sit here and, as a study of God's Word reveals, be God's people and be forgiven of our sins and eat the Lord's Supper and think about being able to go home and spend eternity in heaven with God. The majority of people on this planet do not have what we have here today. We are very blessed at this place. This morning, again, we emphasize obeying the gospel. If you've been here more than two or three times, you know that every service we offer what we call the invitation. And why do we do that at the Anderson Church of Christ? Well, because it's traditional. Because some man came up with that idea. Because this invitation is from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to each and every man and woman to be obedient to His Word. When God told Noah to build the ark, Noah did exactly what God said. And he saved himself, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people. The rest of the people in the world drown. Why? Because they didn't think they had to get in the boat. Today, you need to get in the boat by obeying God's will. Understand that that boat, that house, is the saved of God. We want you to be saved. We haven't said any of this to hurt your feelings. We haven't said any of this to make you mad. We haven't said any of this to rag on somebody else or put somebody else down. If anything that I've said today is wrong, if anything that I've mentioned today is not the truth, you'd be my friend if you would show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. I've been wrong before, many times. This is truth. This is right. Obey this, and you can have the hope of heaven. Obeying what is listed on this chart is taken right out of the Bible. If any of that's not true, we need to destroy that chart. If this is the truth and you've not obeyed it, then you're not getting in the boat. And the flood's going to come. And if you're not in the saved of God's people, you're going to be lost. I don't know how we can make it any plainer. I don't know how we can make it any simpler. If there is one who needs to obey today, we're here as the Anderson Church of Christ to give you the opportunity to become a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you've not lived the way you ought to, come back. God will, through His grace and through the blood of His Son, forgive you. Can we help you? Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Won't you come as we stand and sing?